Well, good morning. It's so wonderful to see you all this today. You know, every time I come here, I just get excited. I think I just get excited about Jesus. Every time I'm here, it's different, and I just thank God for that. Thank you, Jesus. God, I just praise you this morning because you are an awesome God. And Lord, we just love you today. It's great to be in your house. It's great to meet one another and to lift up your name. Holy Spirit, speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to start a series on something that the church, all about the culture of the church, all about how Jesus wants us to act and behave and what we are about as a church is what I'm going to talk about. And one of the things that we have in organizations is every organization has values, correct? They have values in the organization. They put up some things called values, saying this is what we sign up for. This is who we are. And as a church, we have values as well. Isn't that good? So we're not just meeting for nothing. We have some values that I would like to share with you. And some of you may have heard of this before, but it's always good to go back to them because it's the values that underpin our culture. So you might ask me, what's a value? A value is simply this, denotes the degree of importance of something or some action. It gives importance to something or some action. And so, as a church, we have five values that we embed in the church. It's important to know how we choose to behave and how important it is for us to put weight behind some of these values, so we can achieve the things that God has placed in our hearts. For us to achieve what God has placed in our hearts, I just believe that when we embrace a culture of something like praise this morning, you know, a culture of praise is an amazing culture to have. Why? Because there God commands a blessing. You know, when we come together and we praise God, God does something. God dwells in that praise. And that's why it's so important to praise God. It just shatters every gloom and every darkness. That's why it's so important to praise God. You know, when you're feeling down, when you're feeling a bit low, the only way that you can feel on a high is when you start to praise God. Irrespective of how you feel, you say, Jesus, I want to thank you. Jesus, I want to praise you this morning. You start saying that and you see suddenly something shift out of your life, and you'll see an amazing presence of God come all over you. And so if you go to our website, www.lighthouse-church.org.uk, you will see these five values. So what do we want to be as a church? We want to be a church that brings heaven to earth. We want to be a church that blesses people. That's why we put on great hospitality, because we want to bless people. We want to be a church that creates space for God to touch the lives of His people. That is why we have a time of prayer. That's why we pray for people who are sick in body. That's why we meet with people who have a need in the church. We want to be a church where people, they grow and they mature in their faith. Who wants to be a baby all their years? Nobody wants to be a baby all their years. We have to grow, we have to mature, and we want to be a church that embraces maturity in our believers, in people that love Jesus. We want to be a church that we are proud to be a part of. Wouldn't you like to be in a church that you're proud to be a part of, where things are done well and excellently? Can you see what we do here? I hope when you came in, you said, wow, this looks good. How many thought this looks good? We want to be a church that produces fruit, and that also has a big laugh, that we can be joyful, that we can laugh as well at the same time. Is that good? It's good to laugh whilst you're doing something and produce fruit as well, because fruitless Christians are useless. That's what we read in John 15. So you've got to bear fruit. Hallelujah. So we need some values that we've got to embed and work towards to help us create a culture that thrives, that lives. Our values are wrapped up in an acronym. And the acronym is HEART, H-E-A-R-T. And it stands for Honor, Excellence, Advancement, Reaching Out, and Togetherness, or Together. That's what it stands for, HEART. Today I'm going to focus on the first one, which is honor. Honor is a principal key for our lives, and I'm going to look at it today. So I want to turn to the Bible, to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. Just to give you some background here, this is about Eli. Remember Eli in the Bible? He had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Hophni and Phinehas. Eli was a good man. He was a just man. How do we know Eli? Samuel was taught under Eli. The two sons, though, they were evil. They were corrupt. What did they do? The sacrifices that people brought, they desecrated them. They were supposed to have the sacrifice after it was given on the altar to God. What did these chaps do? They portioned off the good bits. And God wasn't happy with that. That's the background to that. And so we drop down to verse 30, and God says this in verse 30. Therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. It's talking to Eli here. But now, the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed, or in other words, shall be despised or shall be disdained. We see here God himself not allowing his sacrifice, the sacrifice that people bring to him, to be dishonored. And so God requires honor from us. Now, if you look at the Hebrew word for honor, it comes from the word called kabed. Kabed. And the meaning of the word kabed, it means to put weight behind. It means to put some weight behind. So the principle that when you put your weight behind God is this: he will put his weight behind you. When you put weight behind the things of God by honoring God, God will put his weight behind you. God has to be more weightier, if I put that word there, weightier in your life. And he's got to be more important. And that should impact the choices we make in life. We cannot afford to take it lightly. God says here that he will despise us if we take God's things lightly, if we treat them lightly. And so we got to come to a place where we don't take things lightly, or we don't place less importance on the things of God. When we place more importance on the things of God, God will place more importance on our things. When we build God's house, God will build our house. God will build our house. And the word honor there is in single, it says gauravaya. That's the meaning. That's why every time I speak, or very often when I speak, I always mention Matthew 6 and verse 33. It's a key scripture in my life. For so many years, I've always mapped my life on Matthew's Gospel chapter 6 and verse 33. If you haven't written it down, write it down. If you have a Bible, underline it, mark it red or whatever color, because it's a key scripture in Matthew 6 and verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then God says everything else will be added to you. Everything else will be added. The addition comes on the principle of God, your kingdom comes first. Your kingdom comes first. I'm going to honor you first in my life. God will honor you by adding everything. So I'm going to show you a video clip in a little while. And it's taken from Chariots of Fire. How many have seen Chariots of Fire? It's an amazing movie. If you haven't seen it, get it. And have a look at Chariots of Fire. It was in 1924 that the Olympics was run by a man called Eric Liddell. He was a 100-meter sprinter. And they asked him to run on a Sunday, and he actually refused. He said no. So they rejigged the events, and they wanted him to run on a 400-meter track, but not on a Sunday. On a 400-meter track. Now, bearing in mind, if you're a 100-meter sprinter, you may not do that well on a 400-meter track, correct? Because your stamina and your goal is 100 meters. You can do it. And he was the number one person on a 100 meters race. But they wanted him to do a 400 meter a race. And we'll see what happens. Let's play that video clip from Chariots of Fire.
Good luck. Don't expect to see you till after the race. What's the deal with this guy Liddell, coach? He a problem?
No problem. He's a flyer. He's had two races today already. He'll die. Just swing along, you guys, and wait. After 300 meters, rigor mortis sets in. You'll pull him in on a rope.
Johnson, Canada, number 400.
Good luck, Taylor. Watch out for Liddell. Coach says no problem. He's got something to prove, something personal. Something guys like Coach will never understand in a million years.
USA! 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 USA!
Jenny!
USA! 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 USA!
Says in the old book, he that honors me, I will honor. Good luck, Jackson Schultz.
Come up!
Power come from to see the race to its end from within.
Come on, Liddell!
Jenny, I believe God made me for a purpose. But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure.
says in the book, him that honors me, I will honor. It's an amazing, amazing testimony of a man who refused to run on a Sunday. He took a stand for God, and God honored him by winning that race. Hallelujah. His previous best was 49.6 seconds. In the final, when with the weight of God behind him, he ran at 47.6. He was 2 seconds better at the 400. Hallelujah. He broke a record. So we can look at honor in two ways, in two categories. We honor God, how we honor God, and how we honor people. If you look at the Ten Commandments, turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. You can break them into two categories. The first four speak of how God, how we will treat God. Let me turn to that. Exodus chapter 20. The second part, the other six commandments, are talking about how we will treat people, how we should treat people. In Exodus chapter 20, it says there, the first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. What God is saying is, if you don't have other gods before us, what are we saying? We're saying, God, we are honoring you by not having other gods before us. Can you see that? We're putting weight behind you, God of gods, King of kings. You are the only God, and that's important to me. It says there, you shall not make unto yourself any carved image. How do we honor God? We don't bow before any carved, graven image. Because God said, I'm a jealous God. I'm holy. You cannot contain me in statues. You cannot contain me. And so God says, how do we honor him? When we do not bow down to artificial, man-made images. Then let's look at some of the other areas. We make a day that's special, that's set aside for God. And that for us is a Sunday. Why are we doing that? Because it says there are 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, correct? Am I reading from the same Bible? What are we doing? We are honoring God by putting weight behind what God requires of us. We are honoring him. It's honoring God. Then let's look at the other six. It says, do not steal, do not covet, do not murder. If I come to your place, into your house and steal something, is there any honor in me? If I'm a thief, is there any honor? There isn't. So likewise, when we choose not to steal or lie or murder, what are we doing? We are saying our lives are important. And Lord, we're giving weight. We are honoring you in the way that we behave in our lifestyle. So it's not for the sake of just saying, you know, don't kill, don't steal, don't lie. But the reason behind that is, God, you've said it. That is required of me. I'm going to honor you in my lifestyle. That the Ten Commandments, many people talk about it. But do we actually honor God by sticking to what God has actually said in his word? Because that is putting weight behind what God had commanded the children of Israel to do, and likewise commands us to do as well. Jesus said this in Luke's Gospel chapter 10. And verse 27, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the shortened version. With all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. It's living a lifestyle that gives weight. It makes these things important in our lives. It's honor, and God responds to us when we honor him, when we honor one another. That's why he said, love the Lord your God first, then love your neighbor as yourself. It's difficult to love your neighbor when you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. This scripture also says, if you cannot love the person that you can see, how can you love the person that you can't see? And I tell you something, when you have the love of God in you, it's easier to love your fellow man. God commands these things. And how many have you seen Bethel Church on videos? And they, you know what they did? They said the reason they believe that they have such a move of God in the miraculous is because they have actually spent years cultivating a culture of honor, where they truly honor the presence of God. And I just want us to be a church that values the presence of God, that honors the presence of God. I want us to be a church that values the people that come here. We place weight behind our people. When we honor God, we make important to us what's important to Him. When we honor God, we make important what's important to us what's important to Him. We consider, and therefore we have to consider our words, consider our thoughts, what we do with our time, what we do with our money. If we have the thought of honoring God, if we truly want to honor God in everything we do, then we'll be careful with our words. We won't be flippant with our words. And so many of you have heard people just cursing God with their words. But you and I who honor God, we won't do that. Why? Because we honor the presence of God. What about our thoughts? When we honor God in our lives, our thoughts, we want to think thoughts that are pure, thoughts that are lovely, thoughts that resonate God's love and God's purity. How about our time? When we have an honor culture in our lives and we honor God, we spend our time, predominantly our time, serving God, serving His people. If we are spending more time on ourselves and less time on God and His purpose and His plan and His people, you got the equation wrong. Because God says, you honor me and I will honor you. When we keep to that principle, God is obliged to come through for us. Can you see that? And I think we miss it so many times because we don't put weight behind God's house. We don't put weight behind the things of God. We kind of put it to the back burner. And we think, oh, I'll come back to it. You know, I got to do this bit first. But I always go back to Matthew 6:33. Seek first God's kingdom and everything else this morning. Because this is such an important culture or value for us to grasp. It's so good that you are here this morning. Because you are here declaring the goodness of God. You're gathered together to worship God. You're gathered together to be inspired by the truth from God's word. You're gathered together this morning to encourage one another. You're gathered together today to create an environment for people to encounter Jesus. The reason why we come at 8:30 in the morning, a team of people who come here, is because we want to create an environment that values people. We can show up here, just put up a few mics, put out a few chairs, and do church. That's okay. But we don't want to do church that way. We want to come to an environment that values people, that honors people, culture that welcomes people. We all could have stayed at home, but we made a choice this morning. Amen. We made a choice because we want to give weight to God's house and to God's people. We want to honor God's house and honor God's people. Church, be excited this morning that you showed up today, because your showing up was not that you just got out of bed and thought, oh, let me just go to church this morning. No, let it be a culture of honor. That on a Saturday night you decide, I'm going to be in God's house tomorrow morning because I want to honor my God. I want to honor the people that come to the house of God. And let that be a culture. Let that it get embedded in us. That'll drive us. That'll be our passion. We will never get up late on a Sunday. We will never come to church late on a Sunday when we have grasped the culture of honor in our lives. We will never get to work late, do we? Do we get to work late, anyone? Gets to work late? No, you won't be tolerated if you get to work late. Let's not get to church late. Let's have a culture of honoring God and honoring God's people. When we come to that place of valuing God and valuing God's people, God will do something amazing, not only in your life, but in the life of the church. And I'm so excited about this house because I know God's on the threshold of doing something amazing in this place. And it comes through a culture of value. It comes through a culture of recognizing and knowing the purpose and the reason as to why we are here. And we are here for one purpose. It's only that's to honor the living Jesus Christ and to honor God's people that He has put in our lives. We don't want to dishonor anyone by not showing up or by showing up late. Someone went, ouch. You're preaching hard, Pastor, but that is a culture of honor. If you value people, you won't be late. You won't be late. If you turned up late this morning, you'd say a bigger amen. I won't get late next time. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I will build my church in Matthew 16 and verse 18. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I thank God that He's building His church, not me. I'm just a steward. I'm just a servant of the Lord. God has put in this house to serve people. I just want to do it with all of my heart. I just want to do it with a culture of honor. Because I honor and value the presence of God. And I honor and value the people. That's why I show up at 8:30 in the morning. Some of my leaders say, you don't have to show up at 8:30. Why don't you come later on at 10 o'clock? But I think, no, I want to be with the people who come in the morning, giving up their time, because they show a culture of honor. And I want to be part of showing that culture of honor to the people who come on a Sunday morning. Because I get excited about church. I get excited about Jesus. There's no better person you can get excited about. There's no point getting excited about anything else because they fade, they pass away. But if you get excited about Jesus, you will be at every meeting, you'll be at everything that is available for us. Why? Because I want to fill myself up with everything that God has for me. I don't want to miss out on anything that God has for me. So I'm going to position myself in a place where I receive from the Holy Spirit of God. Now you might say you can do that at home. I tell you no. I can do it better when I'm gathered together in God's with God's people. Why? Because in a corporate setting, there's a corporate anointing. There's a corporate anointing that comes on people. And I want to be part of that. I don't want to miss out on what God has for me. Many times we miss out church because we are in the wrong place and not in the right place. But when we position ourselves in the right place and we say, God, your kingdom comes first, then God is obliged to look after you. He will. Amen. God says, it says in the Bible in Ephesians 3 and 10, God says, I will reveal my wisdom through the church. God's wisdom and revelation comes through us. Tell your neighbor, that's you he's talking about. That's you he's talking about. Why? Because you and I, we are the church. The church is not the building, as I've said before. The church is you and me. And God says, I'm going to share my wisdom and revelation through you. Wow. You can go, wow. God's going to share his revelation and his wisdom through you. Isn't that amazing? That's how much value God puts on you. That He's willing to share His wisdom with you. That's how much God values you. I think the biggest value is when Jesus went to the cross. God valued us mega big. That is the greatest value for mankind that God has ever given, is sending Jesus to the cross. God's intent is to display the church before all evil powers as his instrument of his wisdom and expression. Hallelujah. That's why we express ourselves in a certain way. Why? Because God wants us to show to the elements, to the principalities and powers and rulers in high places, to say, this is my church. This is my body of people. This is what I came for. This is why I gave my life for. You better listen to the church. You better listen to what's coming out of these people, because they are my people. Hallelujah. That's why you and I have a voice. That's why you and I have authority and power when we speak in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why things, we can command things to come to life in a situation where it's dying, because the resurrection power of Jesus is on the inside of us. Because resurrection power is in you. In Luke's gospel, Jesus says, it's chapter 13. And verse 30, he looks at Jerusalem. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I wish to gather you like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. That's how Jesus so much, he so values you and me. Don't stop meeting in the house of the Lord as some have. In Hebrews 10, verse 25, it says there that some have been accustomed to not gathering anymore in the house of God. And the writer of the Hebrews says, don't be like them. Because the gathering of God's people is such an important part of honoring God's presence in our midst. Amen? That's why we come together. Church is where we pick each other up. We encourage each other. It's where we celebrate the wins. It's where revelation happens. It's where we pray for one another, encourage one another, lift up one another. Church is where we look beyond ourselves to make ways of helping someone else through our generosity. It's a way of helping people. And we do that through the mums and toddlers coffee morning that we do. Why are we doing that? Is it because we have, you know, not enough else to do? We do. In fact, we are short of people on a Wednesday morning. And we are praying, God, send us faithful people who will be faithful. That's an environment where we have honoring God by inviting people from the community to come and spend some time playing with their kids. Why do we do that? Because we have a culture of honor. We want to value people. We want to show them you can come into this hall. You can come and play with your kids and be blessed and have a great time. We have Who Let the Dads Out. Why do we do that? Once the first Saturday of every month. It's because we value dads. That's why. We value dads. We want them to come and play with their kids for 2 hours. We value them because we want to put weight behind those dads. We want to show them something that they can come and do with their kids. And if it's not just, it's not always about just preaching all the time, it's about showing God's love in that environment, giving weight behind. That's why we do it. We have the choir. Why is it that we had the choir? It's because we want to bring people in from the community. We want people to come and enjoy singing. We want to put some weight behind. People love to sing. We say, okay, come and join our choir. We have a great choir director. She's a professional. She does a great job. We want you to catch something of that and be part of what we are doing. That's bringing honor. We have missions. Why? Because we honor God in our missions. So can you see the culture of honor? The value that comes with honoring God in the things that we do. It becomes meaningful. It becomes purposeful. Amen? When you give your time to serve in a team, when you give your time to clean up afterwards, when you give your time to somebody else and invite someone else, when you get there early to create a buzz, you're saying this. You're saying simply, church, you matter to me. You're putting weight behind the house of God and the things of God. Church is God's chosen vehicle. God reaches the community through us, through the church. In many respects, giving of finance is also more about not just the money you bring, it's about honoring God in what you bring to Him. We believe and we give weight to the tithe, because we know that when you tithe, when you give to God what already belongs to Him, we know there's a blessing. And if you can read in Malachi chapter 3, a whole passage on that. It's a kingdom principle. And that's why we honor the kingdom principle. And it's a timeless principle. It never ended in the Old Testament. In fact, in the New Testament, it doesn't say 10%. It just says bring your offerings. Bring it to the house of God. Just as much as you want to. And there's honor in giving unto God. We know that Abraham, in the book of Genesis, before God told Moses in the law, this was how many? About 400 years before the law came into being. What did Abraham do? He honored by Melchizedek, which is a type of Jesus. He honored Melchizedek by giving him a tithe of all that he got, even before the law that was laid down by Moses, because Abraham wanted to honor God for the blessing, for the victories that he had won. It's not a rule, it's God's portion. And when you give, you honor God. You put weight behind God. And you honor. God says, when you honor me, I will honor you. Let's look at Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. Chapter 3, 10 and 12. Okay, let's read that quickly. Oh, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food for my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Over an abundant blessing that God gives us. This is the verse that we read. But look at Malachi chapter 1 and verses 6 to 8. Look at that. It says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? And so we see God himself says, where is my honor? You give honor to those who are above you. But God says, where is my honor? Because when you bring your sacrifices, they're defiled. That's what the next few verses say. They're unclean. Where is my honor in that? You're bringing your second best. Where is the best? I deserve the best of your lives. And so even God honors, puts honor, puts value on honoring him. That you aren't just doing this just for the sake of doing it. There is weight behind everything we do because of bringing honor to Jesus. In Proverbs, it says this in chapter 3, verses 9, honor God with your wealth and the first fruits of all that you have. Honor him with all that you have, the first of your income. Honor God with it. Then your home will be blessed and your family will be blessed. And not only that, you'll have an overflow of God's blessing in your life. How does that come? By honoring God in our giving. By honoring God in everything we do. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, it says this, be devoted to one another in love. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Give honor to someone today. It's what Jesus did. He honored people. Wherever he went, you would see he had time for people. Why? Because he valued people. It was important to Jesus. It should be important to us. The question is this: how does honor look like in our home? How does honor look like between husband and wife? Do we put weight behind what we do in our homes? Do we honor each other, put weight behind each other? Do we esteem each other more than ourselves? Do we give weight to our spouse? Do we appreciate what they do? Do we care enough to find out how they are? Do we consider their needs before ours? Or are we being selfless? If we have kids, are we honoring our kids? Are we putting weight behind what they do? Are we able to give them honor even though they are kids? Give them that honor that they deserve. Why? Because they're children of God. Do we honor our team, those of us who are our leaders of teams? Do we honor those in our team? That's bringing a culture of honor. It's not just honoring upwards, it's honoring one another. People in leadership, honoring those that they oversee. I make it my life's worth or life's journey to place value and honor on people. And I pray that God will help me always honor people in everything I do. The Father honors Jesus. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. In the story of creation, the Father commands, the Holy Spirit breathes the Word of God, who is Jesus. And we see the created world. We can see how they work in unity and in oneness. Honor is key to our church. It's a key value. And I pray this morning that we would have caught something about why the house of God is important, why honoring God is important, why honoring one another is important. And you know something? It's about putting that into practice. It's about saying, God, maybe I have been careless about your things. And sometimes we struggle in life because we are careless about the things of God. But I tell you today, with all honesty, with all humility, that when we honor the things of God, your lives, our lives will change. Because the enemy will not have a foothold. We'll not be able to steal, kill, or destroy because we are honoring God in everything we do. Amen? Let's all stand this morning. Honoring reflects Jesus. And could we be a church, a group of people who come here that grows in the value of honor? Because I tell you, when you put weight behind the things of God, when you put weight behind the church, which is why Jesus came for, that's why he came, for his kingdom, for his righteousness. When we put weight behind that, God puts weight behind us. God, I pray this morning that if we have been slipshod, if we have not given the weight, the honor, God, that you have deserved in our lives, God, forgive us. Forgive me, Lord, for bringing dishonor. Lord, if I ever dishonored you in my words, if I've dishonored you in my thoughts, if I've dishonored you in the way I live, God, forgive me this morning. And God, as a church, I stand on behalf of the church this morning, on behalf of those of us who are gathered here. And God, if you have done things that have brought dishonor to your name, God, forgive us. If you have taken lightly the things of God, your things, God, forgive us and help us to put weight behind you, because we know you will put weight behind us. Lord, from today, help us to be a church that always honors you and puts you first in our lives. I thank you, God, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. I just pray that as you go from here, that you'll take this word with you. And that honor, I will see a change in the culture here. That we will learn to honor and respect and honor each other and honor Jesus Christ. Let's see what God can do. Amen. I'm excited about that, what God's going to do in this place. So, if you need prayer, we're going to close the service. We're going to sing a song of praise and see us out this morning. But if you need prayer this morning, if you want anything that needs prayer, I want you to just come up to the front here so that we can pray with you and for you. Is that okay? Any need, any situation, God is the one who hears our prayer and he will answer our prayer because we pray the prayer of faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, this morning I thank you And Lord, you are changing our hearts. You're changing me. God, I thank you for a culture of honor in this house. Pray, God, that you'll help us every day of our lives to put you first. Put your house first. Put your kingdom first. We thank you, Lord, you'll add everything else. The enemy, the devourer, will be rebuked for our sakes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that we'll have more than enough in you. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. God bless you. God go with you. Let's go out with a song of praise. Thank you.
Come bless the Lord.